starting a private practice isn't what it used to be. Today's clinicians are starting private practices much quicker, easier, and cheaper than before. And they aren't guessing their way through it or getting stuck in analysis paralysis. They're following a tried and true roadmap in order to save time, money, and frustration. There is no reason to reinvent the wheel or struggle to figure out how to start a private practice on your own. We've helped thousands of SLPs and OTs through this process, and now we want to help you too. For a limited time, I'm offering a free copy of our private practice roadmap, specifically for SLPs and OTs who are curious about private practice and want to see what the journey looks like. To download your free copy, please visit startyourprivatepractice.com/roadmap to sign up. Now, on to the episode. Taylor Garzarak is a speech-language pathologist and owner of Chatterbox Children's Therapy, a neurodiversity-affirming private practice in Merriester, Florida. During graduate school, she knew that she wanted to be in private practice, but assumed that this was something that she would have to wait decades to do. While working in a school with a caseload of 70-plus kids and her own children at home that she wanted to see more of, she decided to join the Start Your Private Practice program and learn how to get set up and started with her own private clients on the side. In this episode, she speaks to some fears about the cost of the investment in the program, but how she rationalized the cost and what she's been able to gain as a result. I'll let Taylor fill in the blanks, but let's just say that nearly 1 year after starting her private practice, her practice has grown, her income has grown, and the amount of flexibility she has for her family has grown. And she talks about one really cool thing that she's done with the money that she's earned. Hint, I'm totally jealous. One other thing to know about Taylor is that she's a military spouse, so there's a chance that her families will get orders and have to move. So she'll talk about what this will mean for her private practice. Whether you've been thinking about private practice since graduate school, like Taylor was, or it's something that you're just coming around to, Taylor's story is universal in terms of fears and misconceptions about private practice, but also what she's been able to gain as a result of having one. So this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system. And I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. All right, so before we dive in, can you please share your name, your location, and the name of your private practice?
Yeah, my name is Taylor Garzarak. My practice name is Chatterbox Children's Therapy, and I'm located in Merriester, Florida.
So I am so excited to be doing with this, Taylor, because, you know, I've seen your progress in the Start Your Private Practice program, and you actually posted something the other day that was so cool, which we'll get to in the interview. I just want to tease people a little bit. But can you take us back to the beginning of your career and talk a little bit about, like, when did you first start thinking about private practice?
Yeah, so private practice was always on the radar. I always thought that that was something I would do in the future. And it was something I kind of talked about through school, through my early days in my career. But I thought that that was something that you needed 10 years of experience for. You needed this ginormous waiting room. You needed $5,000 worth of standardized assessments. And you needed to quit your full-time job because you couldn't, you know, just go right into private practice kind of deal while working for someone else. And so it was always something that was on my mind, but it just never seemed accessible. And it was something that I thought you had to do when you had more stability, more time, more this, more that. I never realized that it was something that I could do here and now.
Totally. And a lot of people feel that way, right? Because
those are kind of like the role model. Like when you're in grad school or your early career and you hear about private practices, what you hear about or what you see are the large established brick and mortar locations that have been there for like 20 years. People yeah. don't see the therapists who are doing this on the side to get started, but that's the majority of what's happening, which is really cool. Is that how you started?
Yeah, and you know, there's that quote that's like, don't compare your day one to someone else's like day, you know, 3000. And you really taught that like you taught about the day one and not the day 3000. And as I've, you know, networked with different daycares and different people, I've realized that a lot of the very large practices in my area, talking 20 therapists, they used to go to this daycare and do services, or they used to go in homes and do this. And it just, you know, you look at them now with this ginormous sensory room and this, you know, 20 therapists, that you forget that everyone kind of starts with one, which is what you teach, is that everyone starts with one. And then from there is kind of what you make it and how you want that to look for your practice and your life.
Totally. So tell everyone the story of how you started your practice.
Like I said, I always wanted to do private practice. I have a stepson, he's autistic, and I was really just noticing like a lack of neurodiversity affirming practices. There was no one in my area really doing like Gestalt language processing. We didn't really have someone for like AAC that was like a go-to person for that. And then when I had my daughter, I just had a really hard time, honestly, going back to work. You know, that was just terrifying to go back to work. And I just felt like my job wasn't serving me and it wasn't serving my family. And I wasn't able to see clients that I was interested in seeing. Honestly, you know, I worked in the school district. And I worked in a school, a very needy school. My caseload was about 75 usually. And about 60% of that was kids who were in self-contained classrooms. And so my caseload primarily was non-speaking children, you know, children who had lots of needs, lots of kind of challenges to work through. And I was working in a system that just didn't work, that didn't allow for progress. And so, you know, that idea of private practice was always on the brain. And, you know, Google knows when you talk about something. So I started seeing your ads on everything, it seemed. And Jenna, I really like labored over the call. So I made it so dramatic in my brain. And my husband, he said to me, Taylor, you're the only one who thinks your dreams aren't worth the investment. And I cling to that phrase. And I just thought in that moment, you know, I have children. How sad if they are the only person in a room who thinks they're not worthy of something, if everyone else thinks they can do something, but they are taking themselves out of the game. Yeah. I would be heartbroken as a mother, right? Like, I don't want that for my children. And I just thought, I have to do the things that I want to do. I have to follow my dreams and my passions. And one day my kids will know, like, mom followed her dreams. I can follow my dreams too.
Yes. Oh my God. That is so beautiful, Taylor. And so true, right? Like, I'm a mom too. And like, I would invest everything in my kids, right? But sometimes us, it's like, oh, I don't really need that manicure, or like, I don't really need to like do whatever, right? We put ourselves and our own needs like to the sidelines sometimes, but every now and then you really do have to listen to what other people are saying. A lot of times it is spouses, it's parents, it's best friends who are like, you know what? Like, you can do this. You complain about your job. They're not utilizing you well enough. You're not able to make the difference that you were born to make. Like, why don't you go do this for yourself? And it sounds like you finally came to that realization.
And when I did, it just kind of all clicked together. Once you start to believe in yourself and believe that, like, you're worthy of the things in life that are there, you know, it's amazing how that, like, feeds over into everything.
Yeah, totally. So did you start out on the side of your job at the school with the 70 plus caseload?
So I started on the side because, again, you know, we had to keep our finances right for our family. You know, you couldn't just go off, which was something that had never occurred to me that you could do. That was one of the reasons it was so 10 years in the future, because I just didn't think that you could do that. So I actually started on the side. I had like 3 slots a couple days a week that I could see clients after school hours. And I started in a local church I had sat next to the pastor during a wedding and he had gave me his card, you know, basically said, if you ever need anything. And so I called him on a whim one day and was like, do you have a nursery room? So that kind of worked out. So, you know, it was very affordable for my practice. So it was a great, you know, opportunity. And I started to see clients on the side. I opened in October officially. So I'm kind of coming up on that 1 year mark. And I only had one client from October to January. So there were these kind of moments in there where I was like, is it going to go? Is it going to move? What are we doing? You know, but I just kind of stuck with it and kept planting seeds, kept putting myself out there, knowing that those things would bloom when it was time for them to.
Yes, totally. And that's the thing that happens sometimes is sometimes it takes like a little while to start, right? Because you have to get a little comfortable too with putting yourself out there. And that's something that SLPs routinely are just nervous to do because they've never had to do that, right? Like if you work in a school, you don't have to put yourself out there. You're put on a team and you show up and whatever, like you don't have to do that marketing for yourself, right? And so sometimes
they don't have a choice. Like you're the SLP there. So like they're going to see you regardless. You know, you don't have to like sell yourself as good at this or that. It's like, she's the one in the building. That's who you'll see.
Exactly. So all of a sudden when you have to like kind of like tell people about you, sometimes people get shy or they get worried about being pushy or anything like that. Right. But what I always tell people, like I ask like, well, are you pushy in real life? And they're like, no.
Right.
I'm like, okay, then what makes you think you're going to be pushy as a business owner? Like it's probably going to be the opposite. And I'm going to have to push you a little bit out of your comfort zone to start marketing. So how did you get your first clients?
So my first few clients, I did meaningful speech, the gestalt language processing. So my first client found me from that because again, there was no one in the area with that certification. And then, you know, I think a lot of that kind of no growth between the October to January period was like who you were saying. I wasn't really doing anything. I was kind of scared. So I was, you know, doing little things. And I think some of that was good too, because I was able to refine some of my policies when I only had one person and refine some of my procedures and systems. But, you know, November, December, school was out. So I had a little bit more time to do some things. And that's when I really started pushing the social media marketing, which is huge these days. Like I really think sometimes we undervalue, we put a lot of emphasis on the doctors or, you know, the other providers, which are great referral sources, but there's so much free social media marketing. And that really kind of got me going. And then you get one family and they know someone who also needs speech and they say, hey, we love Taylor. Why don't you call her? You know, and so then it started to kind of go from there once I really started putting myself out there on social media. And newsflash, if you make a post on social media, the worst they can do is like delete it. You know what I mean? Like you're not going to get in trouble or, you know, or maybe no one likes it or comments on it. But if you post in a group aimed towards moms or aimed towards whatever, like you're not going to go get in trouble, you know. So it's worth the like little bit of anxiety that you may have to like hit send.
Well, yeah. And like parent Facebook groups are a great source of referrals for a lot of people. And one thing that people don't always think about is like, think about how you use Facebook groups, like local Facebook groups, even if listeners, if you're not a parent, like I'm in a group in the town I live in. And like when we needed a plumber, right? I like searched the group for plumber, right? Or we needed an electrician or whatever, right? And so when people like are looking for speech therapy, occupational therapy, whatever, like they're going to put those words in the Facebook group. It's much more of a like a search engine than people realize. Have you had luck in Facebook groups?
Yeah. So I'm in a local military spouse group that's for our area. So I've posted in that a couple of times. And like you said, I'm getting clients from some of those posts that I made 8 months ago, because like you said, people search at the top for speech and you're the only one who pops up. I'm also in a few like mom groups. I'm in a few like special needs, like advocacy groups as well. So there's lots of ways to kind of funnel clients to you. I think the mom group gets to kind of be the ultra, but there's other groups you can be in that are for your area. Or even we have like a local small business group. And so I've posted in there a couple of times. I've gotten a client from that, of another small business owner who knew someone who knew someone. And so she plugged another small business owner, you know? So there's lots of different Facebook groups. And like you said, look at what you're already in and kind of see what the rules are for posting there, or even just building connections. You know, if you're showing up when people are asking questions, then you're a little more top of mind for people, even if it's not a structured post that says, here's my business and here's what I can offer. If you're just adding value to a group, people are going to seek that value out from you.
Yeah, totally. No, I'm a big, I love Facebook and especially groups, and it can be an awesome way for people to build their caseloads. So what does your private practice look like these days in terms of like how many clients and like what time are you spending and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I'm still kind of in a shifting phase. I think at first I kind of saw everybody at one time and then I realized that was too many hours. I was doing too much. So I'm kind of reconfiguring my schedule right now to be 3 days a week. And so Tuesdays and Thursdays are kind of my long day. I see clients from 7:30 to 5. And then Wednesdays, I see clients 8 to 3. My husband gets off work at 2:30. He's home with the kids by 3. So, you know, we only wanted like 2 days where, you know, we weren't all together as a family. And then I use Mondays kind of as a flex day. So if there was a holiday or I close for a reason, I use that day. I also use that day to do paperwork. And then Friday, I use as like a family day. I keep the kids at home and I spend some extra time with them, which has been, you know, really fulfilling to my own personal cup. And then that allows us to also take, you know, extended long weekend trips, having my schedule set up that way. So it's really, really nice. But, you know, it looks a lot different than I originally planned. So I always tell people be flexible, because what I originally thought you had to do, air quotes, had to do with a private practice, you can really make it fit how you need it to fit.
Yes. And that's something I'm talking more and more about, is this idea of a lifestyle private practice and like taking whatever your life is, right? Whether you have kids, whether you like to travel, whether you have, you play tennis and like you want to be able to do that. Like one of our students, and actually she's in Start and Grow, she loves to jet ski. And so she like literally plans her schedule around jet skiing time, right? But like you want to, rather than fall into the trap of recreating a job that you don't like, which I'm going to ask you to share your thoughts on that in a second.
Yeah.
You start with your life and then you build your private practice around your life versus what we're used to doing, which is like sacrificing our lives for our job. So tell everybody kind of what your philosophy is on that.
Yeah. So, you know, we discussed a little before how, you know, you talk a lot about a growth mindset and having a growth mindset. And I originally had a little bit of a scarcity mindset. Like everyone who calls, I need to kind of put them where they want to go on the schedule. They want this time, I'll give them this time. And what I realized is that I was creating the same thing that I was trying to get away from. And, you know, I'm a big proponent in counseling. I do counseling. And my counselor was like, you're the boss. You don't have to do that. You know, you can make that work how you want it to work. And so I started to reshift things. But you have to be intentional as a business owner, because there will always be something, right? So my to-do list is never checked off. You know, there's always something I could work on. And so I really had to work on like figuring out what is the priority for today? What is the priority for this week? And what are things that I would just like to do if I get to them? That would be great, but it's going to be okay. And so I think, you know, as business owners, you really need to be intentional about your time and creating systems that don't put you into the same cycle that you were trying to get away from. For me, that looks like having a separate phone and putting the phone in a drawer on the weekends and in the evenings. It looks like setting my email to not notify me after certain hours. Because otherwise, I was like checking my email at 9:30 when someone messaged me, which is then cutting into your family time. So you just have to kind of figure out what is it that you want and just believe that the right clients and the right people will be able to kind of fit into that and source that the way that you need it to. So if you don't want to see clients at 5:30, don't start seeing clients at 5:30, because then people are just going to expect that you're available at 5:30.
Totally. Like put your literally get on a schedule, a calendar, and say, these are my hours. And for goodness sakes, you guys, like stick to it, right? Like, you know, the local dentist office, like they're not going to all of a sudden start adding Saturdays if that wasn't part of their thing because you needed a Saturday appointment, right? They say, hey, this is what's available. Take it or leave it, right? And you're absolutely right about this, like, kind of scarcity versus abundance mindset, that when you create a practice, like, you're going to attract the kind of people who get it, who are in alignment with your, like, philosophies and everything else. And, like, the people who don't like that or who can only do other things, well, they'll go see somebody else. And maybe they will see the new person who just started, who was like you a year ago, who was, you know, doing too much. But I love, Taylor, that you've come to the place where you're like, no, I want to build a practice for balance. Like, I want my practice built for balance, built for my family, and built to not have you burn out again.
And that's one of the encouraging things about private practice too is, you know, my husband used to tell me, like, there's 100 other therapists in this area, but there's always going to be someone who just likes you because they like you. Like, maybe you're not the smartest in this area or the best in this area or whatever. So we don't have to, of course, you want to do good work and you want to, you know, be up to date on your knowledge and kind of stay within your zone of genius. But there will always be people. You can think that, you know, I'm thinking of a couple of therapists in our area who are known as the feeding people, you know, like that is what they're known as. But there are always going to be people who say, Taylor's not an expert, but she's competent at this and we like her. Do you know what I mean? Like, we want to work with her. We know she's not going to hurt her child, but she also hasn't taken 75 million hundred CEUs on that topic. So, you know,
but you know what? The people who have the people who are known for feeding in town, I bet you they have a wait list, you know, 6 months to a year long.
Yeah. You know, we really need to get out of that scarcity mindset because there is just people, for whatever reason, they just like you. They like the way you do therapy. And I'm not the therapist for everyone. Like, I'm pretty play based. I'm very child led. There are some families who want like 30 minutes of like structure. And so, you know, that just doesn't work with my practice. So they'll go elsewhere. But then there are families who that is the brand of therapy that they want and that they're looking for. And so we don't have to feel like you need to take on every family and that you need to create space where you don't want it to exist for every family.
Well, this is just a totally different way to think about private practice. Like, as you mentioned earlier, there were some like myths, I suppose, in your head about like what you thought private practice like could be. I love it now that people are starting to realize that you can put your family first, right? That you can make more money in less time than working, you know, 40 hours plus with all also the unpaid hours, like in the schools and whatnot. So to be able to like create a job on your own terms and that works for your family and that you get paid well for, like, what a gift, right? And I love that for people. And I'm so happy more and more people are deciding to go this way.
Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode.
So before we started recording, and then you mentioned it also about being a military spouse, how has being a military spouse worked as part of your private practice journey?
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things, another one of the reasons that kind of kept me from getting started, because we kind of always live with the idea that we might get orders and, you know, we probably will get orders at some point. That's just the
reality of being a military spouse. And for me, it kind of went back to that same thing of like, you're either gonna like follow your dreams and do the things that you want to do in life, or you're gonna create excuses as to why you can't. And that's a pretty good excuse to the world, is that we kind of move around. Most people would say that's a valid excuse, you know, but I just didn't want to live that kind of life for myself. And I don't, you know, going back to my kids, I don't want them to think that that's the kind of life that they need to live either, where you allow outside influences to direct what you're going to do or not do. And so it's been a great support system. Military spouses love to support other military spouses. So, you know, they like to bring their kids to me because they understand the struggle of moving around. They understand the, you know, the struggle of picking up and meeting new people and reestablishing life. So I just kind of went for it, knowing that, you know, I might have to shut it all down and restart it again one day. And that's okay. You know, that's okay if that's the journey that I have to do, especially now after 2020, the whole shutdown. Teletherapy is so much more accessible. I currently see several kids throughout the state of Florida who, you know, are 6 hours away from me, 2 hours away from me. So those are clients who are already within the teletherapy model that could move with me should we need to. And then some of my other clients, of course, I have some clients who I think would be best served in person that I would refer should we get orders and need to move. But I have some clients who I think would want to stick with me and want to move with me should my practice also need to move, at least in like a transient period while they got on somewhere else. Cause of course the wait lists are crazy everywhere. So yeah.
Yeah. But I love that. I love that like private practice is creating more opportunities for people who didn't like think they existed either because of moves, or, you know, there's some people mm-hmm. who have, let's say they've been working in a school for decades, they're close to retirement and they don't want to, you know, quit their job and forgo their pension. Totally fine. I don't think anyone should necessarily do that. But like seeing private clients on the side, like why not just start with a couple clients and make some extra money and then go from there, right? I think you've done a really good job of highlighting the idea of not waiting, right? Like if you have this dream and you want to do it, like what are you waiting for and why wait? So what would you say to anyone who's listening to this, who's like, I know, Taylor, but, you know, excuse or whatever, like what would you say to someone who keeps putting this private practice thing off?
In my family, we talk about seasons a lot. My husband says I use that word too much, but I really just think that that's kind of how life works. And what I've found is like, you're always in a busy season. Like you're just not in a season of life ever where all the things line up perfectly and it works, you know? So you just have to commit to knowing that life is ever changing. Your schedule will not be consistent. What's hard in this season might get easier, but then there'll be something else that your family is going through or you're going through. So you just have to commit to doing, you know, what feels best for you. And as, you know, SLPs and OTs, I think we have a unique kind of thing. My husband, he used to tell me all the time, what's the worst thing that happens? You just call the school and they'll take you back. Like they always have open positions. At least in my area, it's not difficult to find a speech job. All the practices are hiring. All the schools are hiring. So, you know, he always told me, like, what's the worst that can happen? You go back and you get another job. And so I would just encourage anyone else, like, seriously, what is the worst that could happen? You have to go back to another job, but at least you wouldn't be, you know, in turmoil that you never went for it. So don't wait around for it. Just go for it, because the season you're in right now is the right season. You know, it's the perfect season to go for it. There's no time like today.
Yes. And something I say that's along those lines too is to trust the timing of your life, right? If you've been thinking about something, then an opportunity comes up. I mean, I started with my very first private client, like completely out of the blue. Like someone asked if I saw private clients and I said, no, so I was like 26. I didn't know. I was like, no, I don't. Like, I don't know anything about that. Like maybe later, but not now. And then people kept asking again. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I guess the people wouldn't ask if they didn't want to see me. And then I mentioned it to some colleagues and they're like, no, like you should say yes next time. And I was like, talk about a crossroads, right? That I had an opportunity to either like get those ducks in a row so that I could say yes next time or continue saying no. And not help those people, not make, you know, extra income for my family, not do X, Y, and Z things. Finally, I'm like, you know what? you're right. Like, I should just try this because there's so many people out there who are have been thinking about private practice for literally years. And you're not going to know if you like it or not until you try it.
You don't have to like get up and do everything tomorrow. You know, you can do one little thing at a time. You can only see one client at a time. You know, private practice doesn't have to be your full-time thing. I have a friend who she doesn't think it'll ever be her full-time thing. She likes it part-time and she likes working somewhere else part-time. So you really can make it what you want it to be. But if you're thinking about it, don't be in the same spot next year where you're still just thinking about it. Even if it's baby steps, take those little actionable steps. And like you said, see if you like it. I mean, there's no harm that comes from seeing if you like seeing clients on the side.
Yeah, totally. So my last question before we wrap up is, what does your family think of your private practice?
So I have a little silhouette machine. So like we all wear our shirts that I've made for the business. You know, my husband has been a great support. He's always recommended me to his friends. I get calls all the time like, I know your husband, you know, he told me. So he has now like learned some of the basic milestones for children. And so when he talks to his friends, he will say, I think they're supposed to have 50 words, you know. So he's kind of funny because he's such a support in that. But it has really just allowed for income that just would never be possible working for someone else, you know. It has allowed for us to do things like buy Disney annual passes, which is such a like frivolous thing. But like, you know, if you can do it, enjoy your life. And so, you know, everyone's just been really supportive and, you know, really excited. And my mother-in-law asked, could she have a shirt? So everyone's just really excited for me and excited for what it's doing for our family, the time that it's given us back and the income that it's given us as well.
Yes. Oh my gosh. What a success story, Taylor. I'm sure that everyone listening to this is like, what a cool person. Like, I am so not amazed isn't the right word. Just impressed maybe about how, you know, you started this thing, you started small and now you're growing and now you have something that is yours and that is actually fairly portable, right? Like if orders come along, you move someone else, you keep your Florida people, then you restart with some more people wherever you are. Like, what a gift for yourself, for your current community, as well as future communities. I love it. So where can people like learn more about you, either like on your website or social media or what?
Yeah, so my website is just chatterboxchildrenstherapy.com. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram is a little rusty, but Facebook is where I spend most of my time. And that's just at Chatterbox Children's Therapy.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, Taylor, and inspiring all of our audience. And I'm wishing you the very best with your private practice, wherever it may lead.
Thank you.
Okay. Don't you just love Taylor? I love her honesty and her warm heart and how she knew that she wanted to be in private practice, but had some fears that she faced and overcame. I also love that now she has more flexibility for her family, as well as the finances to be earning more and splurging on wonderful things like a Disney annual pass, which is something that I really wish that I had. Taylor is a perfect example of someone who knew what she wanted, knew what her family needed, and she faced her fears and did it anyway. But she didn't do it alone. She followed our step-by-step process outlined in the Start Your Private Practice program because she didn't have time to figure it out on her own. If you would like to learn more about the Start Your Private Practice program and how we can work with you, just like we worked with Taylor, please visit startyourprivatepractice.com and let's help you get set up, started, and earning money through your own private practice. As always, thank you for listening, and please tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.